Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Jehovah, hallelujah, glory in the highest. rendering our series on the armor of God, and we're going to be looking in particular at the sword of the Spirit. Please turn to Ephesians 6 in your Bible. I was watching a pastor that was flying into California, and he took this picture from his plane. This was when there were those wildfires, I don't know if they're wildfires or fires in California. Can you see that? Can you see all that devastation that was going on right there? The next day, after he got in, he went out and he was looking at everything, and he took some video. And I want you to watch this video. There's no sound here, but there you can see the smoke that's rising from those fires. But I want you to notice something. Look at the guy skateboarding. Look at the people on the beach. Look at the people walking their dogs, right? Just going on like normal business. There's a fire truck. It's staged there just in case the fire does come there, right? But did you notice how there was no sense of urgency there or anything? Right? The pastor said that while he was there, everybody got one of those alerts. You know those alerts that come to your phone and everybody's phone goes off at the same time, right? And it said, hey, you need to evacuate. There is a fire coming. You need to get out of there. And he said every one of them looked at that phone, read that message, and went right back to what they were doing. They could see the evidence of that devastating fire, right? They got a warning telling them about what was happening, what was going on. It's only miles away. It's not that far away, right? And they just kept on doing what they were doing. Granted, it's people in California, right? And those people are a little different. No, but seriously, they didn't take the situation with any seriousness. They didn't take the situation with the seriousness that it deserved. And I think that might be a good analogy for us. Maybe just for me. Maybe you're not like me, right? But there is a war going on, and sometimes I'm just skateboarding. Sometimes I'm just walking my dog, not even really thinking about it too much, keeping it serious, right? How many of us are suited up with the armor of God on? How many of us are heading towards that fire to see people saved? We see the smoke. Young people are being taken out, right? They're committing suicide. Dads are falling. Marriages are being destroyed. We see it. We know the devastation, but we're skateboarding. We're walking our dogs. Some of us know all about the gear that we have available to us, right? But we're not putting it on. We're not going out and combating those fires. We aren't trying to save people. We aren't trying to bring people back and triage them and see them healed, right? We all have a role, a different role to play in this. But are we? Are we even involved? Are we just coming to church and singing songs and being entertained and hearing a good message, or maybe just the message and then just going back to life as it is? Please let this series be a wake-up call, an alarm, right? There is an enemy seeking to destroy you. You have an enemy, right, prowling around like a lion seeking to devour, right? Not only you, but your kids, your grandkids, our families, right? There's smoke all around. What if this year is the year that we get serious and strive to put on the armor of God? What if this year we stand not in our own power, but in the power of God? What if this year we proclaim his truths to ourselves and also to the world, to those that are dying? What if we take that truth to our schools? What if we take that truth to our workplaces, to our communities, to our neighbors, to our family? What if we proclaim it over our nation, over our world? What if? Make no mistake, there is a battle, right? There is a battle. Revelation 12, 17 said this, "Then the dragon was enraged." The dragon is the devil. "At the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring." Guess who that is? Those who keep God's commands and hold fast to the testimony, to the truth about Jesus Christ. That's you and I. There is a dragon that is enraged and went off to wage war, and we're skateboarding. We're not engaged in that. From the moment that we put our faith in Jesus Christ, right, to save us, we become part of that war. We become a target for that war. Before, we might be innocent bystanders, not innocent, but bystanders caught up in that war. But the moment we accept Christ, we become part of the war, targets of that enemy, right? But the goodness of God, because of the goodness of God, he has given us armor to put on. Why? So that we can stand, not fall, not continually trip, so that we can stand, so that we can go, so that we can head into harm's way and be a part of what God is doing to save this world. That's the church. That's our call, right? Stand with me. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 13. We're just going to read 13 to 17 this time. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God," not a piece of it, "the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Amen. Father, speak your word to our hearts. Father, let us accept it as truth. Let us apply it. Change us, Lord, through it. Soften our hearts so that we can receive it. Open our eyes and ears so that we can take it in, Father. And Father, let it be something that we proclaim to this world with your power. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Notice something. The armor of God starts with the word of God, right? The truth. And it ends with the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God, right? So it starts and ends with the word. And really, the middle is all about truth from the word of God. Did you see that? It's theology. It's biblical doctrine in the middle. It's the truths of God's word. And basically, Paul is telling us to take that truth, right, gird it around our waist, and put the rest of it on. Take it, apply it, reflect on it, wrestle with it, right? The parts that you have trouble with, wrestle with it, but ultimately wear it, take it in. I want my church family. I want my family to be ready when the day of evil comes. I don't want you to fall. I don't want you to be hurt, right? I care about you. I love you. And it's the last thing anybody wants is to see their family hurt. So I'm telling you, put on the armor of God, right? Friday night, Saturday morning, I was part of a group of pastors, and we went to Mount Vernon, and we met with young people that were getting ready to be ordained, and it was the last interview before that. And the next day, we met with other young pastors. We had seven seeking ordination and seven that we were interviewing that they're continuing on in their journey towards ordination. But I was struck by something. Nearly half those pastors that I talked to were going through an incredibly dark period of time. There was a young pastor that got this disease, and for the last 6 months, it has debilitated his body. He led praise and worship at our pastor's retreat in October of last year. And he came in, and I did a double take, because this guy was not a big guy, and he had lost 80 pounds. 80 pounds of fat, but 80 pounds of muscle as well. This guy was serving as a lead pastor. And because of this illness, because of what he was dealing with, he wasn't able to preach. He wasn't able to do those things that he was called to do. A young guy, right? It was testing his faith. He was questioning things. He had witnessed God heal people. He believed, he had faith that God could heal people. He had faith that God would heal him. But it wasn't happening in the time frame that he wanted. And so he was wrestling with that. And we asked him, how are you getting through this? We asked him and his wife, right? How are you making it through this season? And they just said, we're clinging to God. We're clinging to his word. We're clinging to his promises. We're clinging to his truths, right? He said, that word is a foundation that we're resting on. So many young pastors going through these dark seasons. And it just brought me back to my own dark seasons. Seasons that I can look back on and just see how rough they were. But there were times that I learned that I was not alone through those dark seasons, right? I learned that he was with me. I saw him provide for me in miraculous ways. I got checks from insurance companies out of the blue. And through those times, the foundation of my faith went from 1 foot deep to 3 foot deep to 6 foot deep to beyond. And because of that, today I can look back at those times, right, and not be thankful that they were dark, but be thankful for what God revealed in that darkness to me, those truths that I could trust him, that he was with me, right? I saw these young pastors going through similar times and handling it in similar ways and testifying to God's faithfulness through the storm. And time again, when we asked them, how are you making it through it? They pointed back to their relationship with God and how they spent every day with him, in his word, in prayer, right? My friends, I know that for some of you, the day of evil is here. And you are wrestling with those things. Cling to him, right? Make him the foundation that you trust in. But I know also, too, that a day of evil is coming for some of you other people. And right now, you're walking your dog. You're skateboarding. You're not spending time facilitating that foundation in your life. And that day is coming. And if that day comes and your foundation is not set, you will not be ready. You will struggle, you will fall. And I pray this church helps pick you up. I pray that you fall towards Christ and he does that, but I don't want you to fall. I want you to be prepared for that season that may be coming very soon. Put on the armor, right? Stand on his promises, learn them, learn those truths, and put them all on, right? Put on the belt of truth, gird yourself with it, search for the truths that are contained in his word, right? To know Christ is to walk in his truth. The enemy is a liar. John 8:44 tells us that, right? There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and a father of lies. That is your enemy that's coming for you, that is enraged and coming against you, right? His scheme is to whisper those lies to you. Do you recognize them? That's the question. Well, if you know the truth, you will be able to spot the difference. You will be able to recognize that that is something that does not line up with what the Word of God says. And when you recognize that, you can rebuke that, right? You can cast that away and say, I'm not even going to entertain that thought, right? But here's the thing. The enemy knows the truth, too. The enemy knows the Word of God. And he takes that and he twists it just a little bit into something that sounds like the Word of God, but is definitely not the Word of God. This is where it becomes extremely important to know God's voice. Know what he sounds like. And I'm not talking about a physical hearing. I've never physically heard him. You may have, but I have not, right? But what I'm talking about is recognizing whether or not that voice that you hear in your head is from God, is in line with his truth, is in line with his character, right? I believe that's where discernment comes from. It comes from knowing God's voice, knowing his character, because his character never changes. If it doesn't line up with his character, you can recognize right away that that's not from him. In John chapter 10, right, Jesus is talking about how he is the good shepherd. And he says, the good shepherd, right, his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They listen for his voice. They recognize a stranger's voice and they run away, right? Do you recognize the voice of God? The more time you spend in God's word, right, the more you will recognize his voice. If you're just spending reading three verses, you know, in that little devotional, it's going to take you a lot longer to recognize his voice. It's a great start, but don't let that be all of it, right? Great messages in there, but dig in deeper, right? The more you do that, the more you'll know his truth and the more you'll know his character, and the easier it will be to recognize the enemy's lies. That's why we put in that devotional a Bible reading plan at the bottom so that you can dig in deeper. That whets your appetite, right? That's a good message. Take it deeper, though, with the bottom part of that. You can't be lax about this. You have to search it. You have to study it. You have to memorize it, right? You have to be on this journey to find God's truth and walk with him. It does not just happen. It does not just happen by coming to church. You got to be on that journey, right? I really believe that we're in a season right now where we're learning how to put the armor of God on so that we can stand, right? But I believe the season that he is moving in us into is one that we are going out, that we are sent. I believe we're headed into the fire. And I don't want you to go without the gear. Because you're going to get burned if you try. In our culture, most people are not on a journey to find truth, right? Instead, they're looking for their truth, the truth that will make them happy. And whatever makes them happy, they label that as truth. Christians search the Word of God the heart of God for the truth, right? And it's only found in Jesus Christ, in the Word of God. And it changes us and it sets us free, right? It sets us on a new path in a new direction. And because it changes us, we proclaim it to all those around us because we want to see those people around us set free by it. But we have to realize when we share the truth, it will come into conflict with their truth, and it won't make them happy, right? And they're going to label you as a bigot. They're going to label you as somebody that hates them because you deny their truth because it does not align with the truth. And you have to be able to stand in that and take that, right? If a fire is coming and people are on a path to it, we have to warn them. It's absolutely, hear this, it's absolutely unloving to let someone believe a lie. Right? What if a person's truth is that they can fly? And what if they're on a path climbing some building or some mountain in order to jump off of that? Right? It would be the most unloving thing to do to not tell someone the truth. It would be the most unloving thing to not tell someone about gravity, right? Hey, you believe that you can fly, but you can't. You're believing a lie right now. You're not a bird, right? And if you do this, you're only going to experience pain and destruction. So please, I care about you. Turn from that path, right? Turn from that thing that you're touching that you shouldn't be. Turn from that relationship that you're in that you shouldn't be. It's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy those around you. Please turn, right? It would be the most unloving thing not to tell somebody that. If you know truth, you have to share it. And I believe that's the season that we're going into. Not only do you have to share it, but you have to wear it and you have to wield it, right? The sword attaches where? To the belt. You can't have the sword without the belt. You can't have the sword unless truth is girded around yourself, right? You won't be able to wield truth if you're not girded with truth. So we put on truth to start with, right? One thing that you must do, one question that you must answer as a follower of Christ when you come to know him is, do I believe this is the word of God? Because you are going to come to places in here that are tough, right? Forgive your enemy. Pray for them. You're going to come to places that you don't like. You're going to come to places that you would rather ignore. But if you come to the conclusion that this is the word of God, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what the culture says. Because either it's truth or it's not. And if it's not, there's no hope to put on the armor of God. There's no hope in that. Is this the word of God? You have to answer that. You have to come to that conclusion because you are going to come against things that you read that you just don't like, right? There are things that I don't like to preach on, but if it's the word of God, I'm called to preach on it. I'm going to do it with love. I'm going to do it with grace. I'm going to do it with mercy, right? But I have to preach the truth, and it might make people mad. You have to share the truth, and it might offend your friends and your family, but you've got to warn them about the fire because that's the direction that they're headed. You got to warn them, right? Put on the truth. When you put on the truth, you start putting on the other pieces, right? The essence of the Christian life is not about us living a righteous life and offering that righteousness to God, because all that righteousness is just filthy rags, right? There's nothing good to offer God. We are all sinners. The truth is, though, that Christ came and lived the perfect life. And he offers us his righteousness. If we will accept it, if we will believe that he died on a cross for our sins and he rose from the grave, we can be credited, our account can be credited with his righteousness. And when God looks at us, he sees his righteousness, not our filthy rags, right? If we believe that truth, we'll put on the breastplate of righteousness. Start asking ourselves questions, right? Am I totally accepted because of what Christ did? The word says I am, right? Well, why am I worried then? Why am I worried if my salvation is not based on my works, right, but on his works, but on him, right? Why am I living with guilt and shame when he died for that? When he paid the price for that, when he bore God's wrath for that, why am I still holding on to that? The truth says it's gone. The truth tells me that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you see that's how you put on the breastplate of righteousness? Put on the truth of God's word, right? That's what it looks like. But it has to start with, this is truth. That has to be the base, right? And when we take it and we put it on, then we can start wielding it. Then we can start telling people, other people who are struggling with those things, hey, there is no condemnation, right? Well, I keep falling and I feel like I'm not saved. Hey, it's not based on you. It's based on what Christ did, and he lived a perfect life and he didn't mess it up. You're wearing his robe. You can't get that robe dirty. Yeah, you can get your robe dirty, right? But there's no condemnation for that. And then we can tell them, yeah, go and sin no more, right? But I don't condemn you. He doesn't condemn you. That's the truth found in God's word that we can proclaim as the sword. As I learn that truth and apply that truth, right, not only is this my armor, but it's also my weapon. It's my weapon that I silence the lies with. Right? As you walk with the Lord, the enemy is going to come against you and he's going to tempt you to believe lies or to do things, right? And then if you believe those lies or you do those things, then he's going to accuse you of those things. But God's word, God's truth silences all that, right? Remember last week, Jesus is in the wilderness. Right, he's been fasting, he's physically weak, and the enemy shows up right at the perfect timing when he's physically weak to tempt him. He attacks his identity and he tempts him to respond. What does Jesus do? He responds by quoting the word of God 4 times. Do you know the book of the Bible he quotes all 4 times? The book of Deuteronomy. It's his second most quoted book in the Bible. Let me ask you this. If your spiritual life depended on it, depended on your knowledge of Deuteronomy and your ability to quote that, how would you be doing? What chance would you have? Man, I love the Old Testament. That's why we challenge everybody to read through the Bible on a yearly basis, right? You got to know it all. You got to know it from cover to cover. You got to have that word hidden in your heart, right? So that you can proclaim it, so that you can bring it up, so the Holy Spirit can remind you of those things. How are you doing with temptation? How are you doing with the lies from the enemy? I know exactly how you're doing. And it all depends on how much time you're spending in here and how much time you're spending with him and how much truth that you're making this and how much you're putting this on. Right? If you're not, I guarantee you're falling. I guarantee you're not living victoriously. I guarantee it. Because you can't do it on your own strength. The beginning of that passage tells us to rely on the power of God. Not our own strength, not our own power, but the power of God found in Christ Jesus. Right? Are you putting it on? Are you reading it? Some people are in the Word of God a lot. Some people come to church every Sunday. But they just listen. And they never put it on. They have nothing to wield against the enemy and silence him. They have nothing to give them the protection from the darts. They have nothing in order to enable them to stand when the enemy's lies are coming against them, right? I've known people that have sat in here for 80 years, and when the end of their life came, they had no hope, no peace, because they just listened. They didn't put it on. They didn't stand on it. We need to be in the Word, and we need to put it on. It has to go into our heads. It has to move down into our hearts as we apply it so that it can flow out in our actions, right? If it stays up here, it doesn't move here, and it doesn't come out here. Can't just stay here, right? When you are out in the world, the enemy is going to come at you or the people around you. And if you aren't living it, right, if it is not in your heart, right, it won't do you or anybody else any good. It won't do the people around you, right? It has to be at your fingertips. You don't always have the chance to say, hold on, let me get my Bible when this is going on, and let me try to figure it out and search it out, right? Sometimes things happen like that. And you've got one chance, one choice right there. One opportunity to speak to somebody. So you got to know it. You got to have a grasp on it. It has to be in your heart, right? You're going to leave this place. You're going to go into the darkness. You're going to go and do battle with the enemy. And he's going to whisper in your friend's ear, right? He's going to whisper in your kid's ear. He's going to tell somebody that they're a mistake. They're a mistake. They were born the wrong way. And that person's going to repeat it to you, and you're going to recognize it right then and there, and you're going to proclaim that to be a lie from the devil. And you're going to tell them, right? No, Psalm 139:14, I praise you, for you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God's works, right, are wonderful. That's what you're going to tell that person. No, my friend, you are not a mistake. That is a lie from the devil. Here's what God's word proclaims over you. Right? When you go out into that darkness, somebody's going to be hearing some lie from the enemy that says that they don't matter. You're going to hear them repeat that, and you're going to say, oh no, that is a lie from the enemy as well, right? Because Ephesians 2:10 tells us that you are God's handiwork. You were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he planned in advance for you to do, right? You got to know that so that you can proclaim that. So that you can silence the enemy. No, my friend, he's calling you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. And I can't wait to see what that is, man. And I'll walk beside you until you find that. I'll pray for you so that you do find that. I'll pray that God reveals that to you, right? Hey, I know a good church. Right, that'll walk beside you too. Why don't you come with me? Why don't you get into Bible study and we'll discover it? Right? My friend, he made you. He knitted you in your mother's womb and he called you there. There's going to be somebody in the darkness because they've experienced a death, right? The enemy's going to tell them, you're alone. You are alone. Maybe the enemy's going to whisper that in your ear. But you're going to tell them, no, I'm not. No, I'm not, right? And you're going to recite Psalm 68 to them. His name is the Lord, a father to the fatherless, right? You're going to proclaim that you have a father. I have a father. My earthly father might be dead, but I have a father that knows me, right? He is a defender of widows. That is God in his holy dwelling, right? God sets the lonely in families. I'm going to rest on that. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to accept that as truth, right? He sets the prisoners out, sends the prisoners out with singing, right? No enemy. I'm in a church family that God has set me in. He's given me a family, right, that loves me. And I have a father. I have a father devil that loves me, that will never leave me, never forsake me, right? You're going to be out there, Brian, and there's going to be somebody in your life that says, man, I'm just dealing with all this anxiety. And you're going to quote 1 Peter 5:7, right? Cast all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you, right? James, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like he does. But this is God's word, and I believe it to be truth, so I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to take it in and rely on it and put my trust in it, right? The word that Paul uses to describe the type of sword that these Roman soldiers were using, that he was giving as an example, was a short blade. It was only 20 to 24 inches long. It had a blade on each side, and it was specifically used in close hand-to-hand combat. That's where the battle's going to happen, right up in your face. He's going to hit you hard, right up close, right? But you got a sword built for that. A sword that will silence him, right? He's coming against you, and you better be armed, my friends. He's coming to destroy you. You better have a sword so you can silence him. And you better have it with you, right? You better not leave it at home. You need it with you. James, I just get scared and kind of pull back, right? Maybe you know a passage in Deuteronomy 31:6, right, that says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you, right? And he'll never leave you or forsake you. Do you believe that's the word of God? Do you believe that's truth? Then put it on. Right? When you feel alone, when you're scared, man, put it on. The Lord goes with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. I'm going to be scared, right? But I don't have to be, because this is what the truth of God's word says. Devil, I'm not alone. He's with me. James, I'm just not there when it comes to the Bible. Man, well, you're in the right place. Right? Because we're going to preach the truth. We're going to preach the word. We're going to have Bible classes, study classes for all ages on Wednesday night and Sunday morning that you can come to and learn more about it. We've got accountability groups that will hold you accountable so that you are in the word of God daily, right? And those accountability groups are great places to be spurred, to be challenged with different things. Those are safe spaces that you can ask questions and talk to people about that. Hey, what in the world was Jesus talking about when he said this, right? Great places to learn. You got a pastor who you have their cell phone number in the bulletin. You can send me a text, man. Do you know how many people send me biblical questions? It's awesome. They come. Man, those are things that help me, because sometimes I got to search. Sometimes those are really good questions, right? But you got resources. You have a church. But if you just come on a Sunday morning, you're missing out on a lot. You're missing out on a lot of growth. You're missing out on a lot of truth that you need to be able to stand in this world today. The best thing that you can have is a quiet time. And I want to challenge you with that this morning. Right? Can I ask you that question? Is spending time in God's word the first priority when you wake up? Is it first when you wake up? The Bible calls us to give first to God. If you're a firstborn, you are to be consecrated to God. You would be brought on the eighth day to the temple and be consecrated to him. We're called to give the first fruits of what we earn, right, to God. not what's left over, not to wait until we spend it all and then see what we have. No, we're called to bring in the first. We're called to seek his kingdom first, right? And all these other things will be added to us. There is a blessing. You need to hear this. I'm not a health and wealth gospel person, but there is a blessing from putting God first in your day. It will set your path straight. But some of us, we're not in it at all. Some of us, we're doing it later in the day. We're going to school without putting the armor on. We're going to our workplaces. We're going to these dark places without putting our armor on, right? You got to put your armor on first. There is a blessing from putting on truth first thing. There is a blessing from spending time in prayer, right? Prayer calls down fire. Right? We see time and time again when somebody prayed in the Bible and literally fire fell. Prayer calls down fire. You need some fire in some situations that you're dealing with. Prayer brings in rain too. It fertilizes stuff. It renews stuff. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to be in prayer. And you need to do that first, right? If your first thing that you do is you open up your smartphone and look at your text and look at your emails, you've just set the foundation of your day to be responsive to those things, to be at the mercy of those things. If social media is the first thing that you do when you get up, right, then you're going to make everything in your day set on that path about pleasing other people and being entertained. If the Word of God, though, is the first thing, it's going to set everything into place, right? I think I told you last week, and Monday I didn't have my quiet time until I came home at lunchtime, and that day was a miserable day. It just went, I had no motivation at work. I was just out of it, out of sort, right? Man, can I challenge you with that? There's Bibles back there that are free. There's reading plans that are back there that you can grab. There's a devotional that you can sign up for with the reading plan in it. There's things that you can pray for about that. There's accountability groups that you can have that'll make sure, right? Maybe in your accountability group, you're going to challenge everybody in that group. Hey, let's be in the Bible. Let's be in the Word of God first thing, right? And when they're not, you can hold them accountable if you come to that agreement, right? Don't face the day without your armor. Could you imagine Eddie going to work without his vest, without his handcuffs, without his taser, without his radio? Could you imagine going into that day of evil, right, with nothing on? That's us. That's how some people, teens, you're going into your schools with nothing on, with the day set to some other priority. People, you're going into your workplaces with nothing on, right? And you're waiting until you get home at night, and then you're putting on the vest. Do it first. Do it first. I promise you, there's a blessing that comes from honoring God and putting him first. You see it throughout the Bible of what it means to seek him first, to put him first. Man, I know I've been tithing for a long time. I know there is a blessing that comes from giving God the first. I would never stop that, right? And I would encourage you to do that. And you're going to hear that and you're going to think, oh, that's just a preacher trying to get your money, right? But we don't pass a plate in here. I'm not offered after your money. I'm concerned about you being blessed, right? Give to God first, right? Trust him with the rest. And he'll enable you. That's what the Word of God says. Test me in this. This is the one place that he says that I know of in the Bible. Right? Is this the Word of God? Be in it. Put it on. First thing. And let it direct your path. That's my challenge for you. Right? If we're going to move into this next phase of going out, you can't go out unless you have that armor on. Or you're going to go out and you're just going to fall, right? Stand with me. Please pray about that. I know some of you are going to say, yeah, you know, I'm not a morning person. Maybe that's a lie from the devil. Maybe you can rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ, right? Because the Word of God tells us to search Him in the morning and the evening. Maybe you can do both, right? If you're not in the Word of God, please get in it. Start in John, move to Acts, move to Romans. If you're not in a Bible study, get in a Bible study. If you're not in an accountability group, get in an accountability group and don't just go through the motions. Hold people accountable. Be held accountable. When somebody holds you accountable, don't get offended. Don't let the enemy come in there, right, and cause disunity. Realize that you have a brother or sister that loves you and is concerned about you and your walk, right? Take advantage. Take advantage of things, man. Be in church as much as you can. I know our schedules are crazy nowadays. But here's where you hear the truth proclaimed. Have it in your homes, though, too, right? Search Him first thing. If you're searching Him first thing, can I challenge you to search Him last, too? It'll set up the next day. Father, we thank You for today, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth that it is. We know that there's an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and lie, and condemn us and accuse us. But we know that there is freedom in Your Word. There is a freedom that gives us the ability to live better for You. I love what Hayden said 7 weeks ago about the railroad tracks, man. Let us be on the railroad tracks of Your Word, because that's where we find true freedom. That's when we find the real ability to move forward faster, further. From the guideposts, the guidelines, the truth of Your Word. Father, would You remove any condemnation? Would You remove anything that the enemy is speaking right now? Oh, you're just not a good Christian. You're not in His Word, right? Would You replace that with Your truth? You're my son. You're my daughter. I want to spend time with You. Father, may we make that time to put You first and honor You with everything that we do, Lord. Father, we love You and we give You praise. In Your name we pray. Amen.